Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to Calvin Christian Reformed Church. We're glad that you're here to worship the Lord with us this morning. I want to give a special welcome to any visitors, family, and friends that have joined us this morning. I want to say welcome, too, to those who are worshiping with us online. As we get started this morning, I should make a couple of announcements here. So first, looking ahead to next week, we are going to be celebrating together. We're going to be celebrating a baptism next week with Andy and Jackie's son, Isaac. We're also looking forward to celebrating communion together. Not very often that we get to celebrate both sacraments in the same Sunday, so that'll be an exciting opportunity for us. There's lots of things in the bulletin about events going on in our church and in our community, so please be sure to keep track of those. We've got one more announcement. That's from Tess, so I'll let Tess come up here and she'll fill us in.
So 2 weeks ago, I made an announcement about LifeWise, and so I'm here just to explain a little bit more about it. So the mission of LifeWise is to reach the unchurched students in public schools with the gospel. Through a release time religious instruction program, like I said a couple weeks ago, we use the Gospel Project curriculum, and it's designed to take kids through the entire Bible over the course of 5 years. So I have included two different things in the bulletins from LifeWise this week. So the first one is a pledge card. So in order to launch and expand the program, it takes several things: prayer, giving, and volunteers. Each bulletin has been given a pledge card. On the pledge card, you can see there are various levels of giving. The average cost for a student to attend LifeWise would be $20 per month. This cost includes curriculum, supplies, transportation, t-shirt, insurance, publicity, and a tech. We were asking you to look at the various levels of giving and see what you feel led to give to keep this free for all students. You can fill out the card if you feel led to and hand it to me after the service, or put it in my box, or if you feel you need to go home and pray about it, you can just put it in my box later. And the second thing is, in the bulletin we put assistance and volunteering opportunities. So we're piloting this for first graders at Cluckhone with the hopes of expanding in the spring. So if you're willing to help, just let me know, or you can get a hold of Lindy Doman at the number that is on the bulletin insert, or you can also go if you want to volunteer and specifically be in the classroom. You can go to lifewiseacademy.org/lamarsiowa.
Okay? All right. Thank you, Tess. This week, we hear God calling us to worship with these words from Psalm 86. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Let's join in singing praise to our God. We're going to sing, "I Will Exalt," and please rise in body or in spirit as we sing.
Thank you.
people of God, our God greets us this morning. He says to us, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God has greeted us. Let's take some time to greet one another. You may be seated. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Trusting God's mercy, let's confess our sins together in prayer. God of grace, we confess that we have elevated the things of this world above you. We have made idols of possessions and people, and we have used your name for causes that are not consistent with you and your purposes. We have permitted our schedules to come first and have not taken the time to worship you. We have not always honored those who have authority over us. We have harmed and disregarded others and their well-being. We have not always honored marriages and kept them pure. We have yearned for and sometimes taken that which is not ours. We have misrepresented others' intentions. We have grown comfortable with sin and desired things that go against your will. Forgive us, O God, for the many ways we all fall short of your glory. Help us to learn to live together according to your ways through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God of life, God of comfort, alone, afraid, in fear, in loss, we cry out, why, O Lord, why? How long, O Lord, how long? We cling to you in hope, even as we grasp for hope. So grasp us in your loving embrace through Jesus Christ, who endured the cross for our sake. Amen. Brothers and sisters, hear the good news. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Know that in Christ, God forgives us and makes us new. Thanks be to God. Now Jesus calls us to follow him. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Let's join together in singing once more. We're going to sing, "You Are Mine." Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing.
Of our educational leaders, this would be Sunday school teachers, Bible study leaders, children's church leaders. So we would like to commission you this morning. There's a itinerary in your bulletin. You may follow along with that. Today we honor those who have committed themselves to sowing the seed of God's word in the soil of our congregation's hearts, the leaders of the teaching and nurturing ministries in this church. We now ask the teachers and leaders of these groups to stand. You have been asked to use your gifts to sow the seed of God's word in hearts and to nurture it toward maturity. How do you respond to this call?
In our silence, with God's help, to work for a profitable harvest.
Go and work in the field with God's grace. Learn from the master sower who prayed and loved and taught and gave his life for others. May he equip you with every good gift so that the harvest is bountiful. Congregation, please rise. We have had the seed of the Word of God planted in our hearts. We are all learners who have yet to grow into full maturity. Do you commit yourselves to learning and growing in faith this year?
We commit ourselves, God helping us, to feed the seed of faith that has been planted in us.
God has provided us with teachers to nurture this seed. Do you receive them as gifts from God? And do you commit yourself to supporting in their work?
We commit ourselves, God help us.
May the God of the bountiful harvest bless us in our growth this year. May we bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. We pray for this commitment and for God's blessings on all our endeavors. You may be seated.
As we come together for our congregational prayer, just a couple of things that we should remember together. First, we've been praying for a number of weeks for Jerry and Mary Reed's grandson, Jacob. He had a successful surgery this week, so we want to praise God for that. And we pray for continued healing for him, and hopefully he'll be coming home soon. We also want to continue to pray for John Van Hill. I just pray that his recovery will continue to make progress and pray for patience and strength during this time. Let's join together in prayer. Lord, as the deer pants for streams of water, so our souls pant for you, our God. Our souls thirst for God, for the living God. When can we go and meet with God? Lord, we long to know you more and more. We long to experience your presence with us in our lives. We long to see you at work, to see the many ways in which you bless us and care for us. We want to grow closer to you. We thank you for the ways in which you've provided us to do that. We thank you for giving us the gift of your word, the Bible. We thank you for opportunities to come together and worship and hear you speak to us. We thank you for Sunday school and Bible studies and other ministries where we can learn about you. We pray that you would fill us with a deeper and deeper longing for you and the strength that and the diligence that is needed to seek you and learn more about you and become more like you. Lord, our tears have been our food day and night, while people say to us all day long, "Where is your God?" So we say to God, our rock, why have you forgotten us? Why must we go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Lord, we cry out to you in times of difficulty and despair. Lord, why must people in your world go hungry? Why must even children in our own community be hungry at times? Why must there be so much hatred and division and distrust in our communities, in our nation, around our world? Lord, we pray for those who have particular needs. We think of John Van Hill. We pray that you would give him strength, healing, and patience. We pray for those who are sick, that you would bring them healing, that you would help them to know your love in a clear way. We pray for those who are struggling with peer pressure and temptation, that you would give them your strength to follow you, that you would lead them to people who will support them. We pray for all those who feel like you are distant from them. We pray that you would strengthen their faith, that you would help them to see you at work, that you would show your love. These things we remember as we pour out our soul, how we used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with us, a prayer to the God of our lives. So why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Lord, we pray to you because you have shown yourself to be trustworthy and good. We praise you, for you are greater than all our enemies and our troubles. No strength can compare with yours. We praise you because you know all things, and you act with perfect wisdom to bring about your good purposes. We praise you because you understand us completely, and you love us unconditionally. We thank you for your great faithfulness to your people and your promises. We thank you for the signs of your faithfulness that we've seen this week in Jacob's successful surgery. We pray for continued healing for him. We just thank you for the ability to rejoice in you and your goodness. Most of all, Lord our God, we praise you for the work of Jesus Christ, who makes you known to us, who brings you salvation, who gives us forgiveness and life and so much more that we could never deserve, but that you freely give us through him. It's in our Lord Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. At this time, we get to worship God by giving back to him through the giving of our offerings. As we receive our offering for the ministries of our church and others that we support, we'll also sing together. We're going to sing Tell Your Children. time for our children's message, so I invite all our kids to come forward, and we could talk for a little bit. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good, good. I'd like to talk to you about the Bible story that we're going to read this morning. So our Bible story is about a guy whose name is Joseph. And Joseph had 10 older brothers. Can you imagine having 10 older brothers? That'd be a lot. And Joseph's older brothers, they didn't like him very much. And so they tried to get rid of him. They sold Joseph so that he would be a slave. And they thought that they were done with Joseph, that they would never have to see him again. But then, after more than 20 years had gone by, they met their brother Joseph again. But now, Joseph had all kinds of power. Joseph was in charge of a whole country. And he told his brothers, "I am Joseph. I am the one that you sold into slavery." Now, how do you think Joseph's brothers felt when after so long they saw their brother again, their brother that they'd been so mean to, and their brother that could now do whatever he wanted to them? I think they might have been a little sad. Yeah. Any other ideas? How do you think they might have felt? Mad? Yeah. I think they were sad and mad at themselves for being so mean to Joseph. I think most of all, they were scared. They said, "Oh no, he's going to get back at us. He's going to hurt us for all the bad things that we did to him." But that's not what Joseph did. Joseph says, "You guys sold me to be a slave, and that made me come down to Egypt. But really what happened was that God sent me to Egypt." You see, Joseph's brothers, they had plans, and they had tried to do some things. But God is bigger and stronger than all our plans, than all the things that happen to us. So even when really, really bad things happen to us, like when people are mean to us and hurt us, God is even stronger than that. And God can make good things come out of the bad things that happen to us. Because God is in charge, and God is stronger than everything. And God's plans are always good. So we are going to talk about that with our sermon today. But for you guys, we have something special that's starting this week. So for all of you that are 3 years old and older, we're going to start a thing called children's worship. So you guys get to go downstairs with Miss Caitlin and learn some lessons and have some fun with her. So before we send you guys down there, I just want to say a little prayer for you guys. So let's pray really quick. Dear God, thank you for children's worship. Thank you for all of our children. We pray that you would bless their time together and help them to learn to love you even more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Miss Caitlin is standing up. There she is. So if you guys are 3 years old or more, you can go downstairs with her. And mom and dad, if you think you need to go down the first week to help your kids get situated, that's okay too. And for those of you that are younger than three, you can just go back to mom and dad. We'll give them just a second to get on their way. All right, so in our sermons together for, I think, about 2 months now, we have been following this long story in the book of Genesis, the story of Joseph and his brothers. And this week, we have come to the climax of the story. After all this time, Joseph is going to make himself known to his brothers. And we get the high point where Joseph explains how God has been at work in this whole story. Now, this is not quite the end of the story. We're going to talk about Joseph and his brothers for one more week after this. But this is sort of the point that everything has been building up to. And it's a wonderful story of how God is at work, even in the midst of all the things going on in our lives. Now, before we read God's word together, let's join in a moment of prayer. And this week, we're going to pray together for our prayer of preparation. So those words are in the bulletin. I'm thinking they're going to be coming up on the screen here any minute. There it is. So let's join together in this prayer. Lord God, thank you for giving us the Bible. Thank you that through reading it, we can learn more about you and learn to love you more. Send your Spirit to help us understand your word and to help us grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading this morning is Genesis chapter 45. We're going to read the whole chapter. That's verses 1 through 28. Again, we'll read Genesis 45, 1 through 28. Feel free to follow along up on the screen, or also feel free to pull out your own Bibles and follow along there. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him, because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near to me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt, and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly." Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace that Joseph's brothers had come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, do this. Load your animals and return to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are also directed to tell them, 'Do this. Take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives, and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings, because the best of all Egypt will be yours. So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them carts as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave them provisions for their journey. To each of them he gave new clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. And this is what he sent to his father: 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and other provisions for his journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they were leaving, he said to them, "Don't quarrel on the way." So they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. They told him, "Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all Egypt." Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry them back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, "I'm convinced. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." This is the word of the Lord. Lisa Gilbert grew up in the foster care system, spending time in many different foster homes as a child. She experienced this feeling of emptiness inside her that seemed to grow every time she moved. Lisa says, "I had this deep sense of sadness that everything, and I do mean everything, in my life was temporary." When you are a foster child, every time you are sent to a new home and family, everything you knew in the previous life is taken away. It causes the most acute insecurities imaginable, especially for a child who has no way to cope. After many years, a loving woman adopted Lisa. But even then, she struggled to believe this good thing could last. For a while, Lisa kept her jacket on wherever they went, just so that she'd be ready to go, so her mother couldn't leave without her. Trying to cover up her deep feelings of insecurity and emptiness, Lisa tried hard to always be the funniest person in the room. As she grew older, she was quick to embrace physical intimacy or an invitation to some party, always willing to do whatever it took to find acceptance and fulfillment, but always left wanting something better, something more permanent. Finally, Lisa had hope when she was a young adult. She got married, she moved to Florida with her new husband. But he cheated on her, and their marriage ended with Lisa going back home, losing her husband, her in-laws, her new community. Once again, she felt alone, like she had to start all over. Sometimes life seems not just hard, but cruel. Not all problems are the same. You know, hunger and loneliness are different challenges. One man might take trouble in a relationship in stride, while another feels like he's having a breakdown. One woman may lose sleep over a level of stress at work that another woman would consider just a slow Tuesday. But I think that all of us know what it's like to struggle, to suffer. When we do, we can feel hopeless, defeated. We can get the sense that everything is against us. We can even start to worry that God has turned against us. We learned that our best friend spilled our closely guarded secret about being unhappy at work. And now we don't know if there's anyone that we can trust. We finally track down a decent apartment that fits our family, only for the landlord to raise the rent higher than we can afford a year later. If we're not personally struggling, we probably know others who are. A neighbor tries doctor after doctor and treatment after treatment, but can't get relief from headaches without experiencing even worse side effects. A refugee family narrowly escapes home and the war there, only to encounter hostility in their new country. Suffering can make it feel like we're just wandering back and forth, not really getting anywhere. God can seem impossible to find when we're in the midst of despair. Sometimes we feel like we're on our own, like we're just the victims of some tragedy or cruelty. Sometimes it just seems like there's no point, no purpose, no hope, like everything has just gone wrong. Jacob's sons feel defeated, like things have just gone wrong. Their family, like the whole world, has been suffering through a terrible, terrible famine. Twice, the brothers have come down to Egypt for food, and both trips have ended with suspicion and threats. Now Benjamin, their youngest brother, seems doomed to be a slave. After a silver cup that he didn't take somehow mysteriously ended up in his belongings. Brother Judah has just finished pleading with the Egyptian governor to let Judah take Benjamin's place so that their father Jacob won't lose his favorite son. But the brothers don't have much hope. They worry that God has turned against them. Suddenly, the governor begins acting strangely. His stern face softens. Tears begin welling up in his eyes. He orders everyone else out of the room, and he begins weeping loudly. Then he declares, "I am Joseph. Is my father really still living?" The brothers freeze in fear. Could this really be their long-lost brother, the one that the 10 older brothers sold into slavery more than 20 years ago? And if so, what will Joseph do to them now, now that he holds all the power? The brothers are too stunned. They are too terrified to even speak. Joseph tries again. With a friendly gesture, he says, "Come close to me. I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt." Regret and shame and guilt wash over the brothers as they remember their hatred and cruelty toward Joseph. They brace themselves for Joseph's revenge. But Joseph says, "Don't grieve or be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you, and God did it to preserve lives. There's been famine for 2 years now, and there's 5 more years of no crops yet to come. So God sent me ahead of you to preserve survivors for you, to save your lives by a great act of deliverance. It wasn't you who sent me here, but God. God made me such a trusted advisor to Pharaoh that it's like I'm a father to him. God made me lord of Pharaoh's entire household, ruler of the whole land of Egypt." After more than 20 years, God has given Joseph a new perspective on what has happened in his life. God has provided Joseph with a clearer understanding that he's eager to share with his brothers. Looking back, he can see the whole picture of where he's been and what God has done. You see, God knew that this terrible, terrible famine was coming. And God had promised to bless not only Joseph's family as his chosen people, but also to bless all nations through his people. So God worked to fulfill those purposes. God used the brothers' spiteful attempt to get rid of Joseph to bring him down to Egypt, the breadbasket of the ancient world. When Joseph was a slave, God used Joseph's master's wife's lust and lies to place Joseph in prison so that there he could meet Pharaoh's cupbearer and interpret that man's dreams. Then God used the cupbearer's forgetfulness to make sure that Joseph was still there in prison 2 years later when Pharaoh had ominous dreams that no one understood. God gave Joseph the wisdom to understand Pharaoh's dreams, to see that they were predicting 7 years of abundance, followed by 7 years of famine. God did this so that Pharaoh would trust Joseph to run the whole country. God gave Joseph the advance warning and all the authority he needed to store up enough food to save lives in Egypt and beyond, but especially his own family's lives. Because of this perspective that God has given Joseph, his family has no reason to fear. Joseph's brothers did terrible, terrible things to him. They are fully responsible for their wicked intentions and actions. They acted by their own choice. But at the same time, God also acted. God acted through and in spite of the decisions of human beings. God was with Joseph, keeping him alive, positioning him to provide for the health and well-being of many others, including his whole family. In the end, after all of Joseph's suffering, Joseph sees good results. Both Joseph's brothers and God acted. God's work didn't cancel out the brothers' choices, but the outcome shows that it was God who was in control, that it was God's purposes that prevailed. So Joseph can confidently declare that God sent him to Egypt. Having realized the blessings that God has brought, even through his suffering, Joseph has no desire for revenge. And Joseph's family also has no reason to be afraid of the famine. Through Joseph, God is going to take care of the whole family. Joseph instructs his brothers, "Hurry back and tell my father, your son Joseph says, God has made me the ruler of all Egypt. So come down to me right away. You can live near me in Goshen. I will provide for you and your children and your grandchildren. 5 more years of famine are still coming, but I'll keep you well fed. I'll keep you out of poverty." My brothers, all of you, even Benjamin, can see that it's really me talking to you. Tell my father all that you've seen about my honored position here in Egypt. Bring him back quickly. After years apart, Joseph and his full brother Benjamin embrace, weeping. Joseph kisses and weeps over the rest of his brothers too, and they truly talk together for the first time in 2 decades. When Pharaoh hears that Joseph's brothers have come, he and all his officials are pleased. Pharaoh approves of Joseph's plans to resettle his family in Egypt. Eager to repay the man who has saved so many lives in Egypt, Pharaoh extends incredible generosity to Joseph's family. Joseph, tell your brothers to go get your father and their families and come back to me. I'm going to give them the best part of the land of Egypt. They will enjoy all of the good things in the land. Take some carts along to help the women and children on the long journey. Don't worry about bringing possessions. I'll make sure they have only the best. When the brothers arrive home at long last with a whole caravan of supplies from Joseph, Jacob can't believe it. How could his long-lost son still be alive? But eventually, the brothers' report of all that has happened and the sight of all these provisions convince Jacob. After 22 years of immeasurable grief, Jacob springs to his feet, energetic once more. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. God has blessed his chosen people. Through it all, God has been at work to preserve lives. God is at work in our lives and in our world for good. He gives us hope even in the midst of suffering because he is in control of all things. God's purposes prevail. God's actions determine the final outcome of the events and the seasons we go through. God works out his plans through and sometimes in spite of human choices. God is able to use even the worst situations to ultimately lead to and bring about good. God can use a failed job or a dream of ours that didn't pan out to move us to a different career or city where we flourish. God can use a stretch of bad health and a series of tests to enable us to catch an even worse problem early enough for treatment. Through time of hunger or low finances, God can show us his goodness and reliability and teach us to trust in him more. Through a hurtful, broken relationship, God can make us stronger, wiser, more loving, more understanding. Now, as we believe in God's goodness and control of all things, we need to remember that what's good for us, what's good for God's people, might not always be easy or enjoyable, or what we want. God's purposes can take a long, long time to unfold. They can be difficult for us to understand, especially when we're in the heat of some struggle. Joseph, as we saw, he was a slave and a prisoner for 13 years before God raised him up. It was more years yet before he saw his family again. But many times, God gives us perspective. He helps us to look back on where we've been, to see how he's been with us, working for our good. Many times in time, we can see exactly what God's been up to. There may be times yet where we don't understand. But God assures us that we can always trust that his purposes are good. Because of Christ Jesus. Though we sinned and turned away from God, Jesus came in love to save us. Jesus suffered. Jesus suffered because of the hatred of the religious leaders of his day, because of the betrayal of his disciple Judas, because of the corruption and fear of the governor Pilate and the Romans, because of the sin and sinfulness of humanity, which led to his execution. But God planned. God used Jesus' death to bring salvation to all of his chosen people, to all those that he leads to believe in Jesus. God raised Jesus from the dead so that we can have a right relationship, an eternal life with him. God showed us that his ultimate purposes are to deliver his people and to make his world right. And that in the end, nothing can stop God's purposes. God worked for good in Lisa Gilbert's life, and eventually he gave her the perspective she needed to recognize how he had been at work. When Lisa's marriage was over, she wasn't completely alone this time. God had given her a mother who loved her and supported her. Still, Lisa struggled for a long while. Eventually, she became friends with a particularly joyful and kind co-worker who told her about Jesus Christ and promised that he would never leave her. After all of her sadness and loneliness, Lisa longed for Jesus Christ. When God led her to put her faith in Christ, Lisa says, "He came into my heart, and he stayed. He was everything I needed. The foster kid finally found a permanent home." But God wasn't finished. Through the struggles of Lisa's childhood, he had been preparing her to lead a foster youth mentor ministry at her new church. Lisa explains, "The ministry exists to provide foster youth with committed mentors who will stay with them no matter where they get moved to, permanent fixtures in their lives. God has redeemed my troubled youth to bring me here now, to this place where I can help kids who are just like how I was." God even had a use for Lisa's sharpened sense of humor, which she'd tried to use to fit in. God enabled her to do comedy routines so that she could go out and raise support and awareness for her ministry. Lisa went through so much pain that didn't just go away, but God brought good out of the pain that Lisa endured. Brothers and sisters, our God gives us hope no matter what, through his power, his presence, his love. He can use even our worst situations for his purposes. Our God is at work for his people's good. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join together in prayer. God our Father, we praise you for your power and goodness. What a comfort it is to know that you are in control of all things, that you always work out your purposes for your people's good. Give us hope and patience in the midst of struggles and suffering. Remind us of the work of Jesus, our Savior, who shows us how you can use even the worst situations to ultimately serve your good purposes. Give us confidence, for you will be with your people forever. Thank you for caring for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's respond to God in faith by proclaiming what we believe. We're going to use the words of "Our World Belongs to God," stanza 12. Those words are printed inside the bulletin, or they'll be up on the screen. So let's join together in this reading. "Even now, as history unfolds in ways we know only in part, we are assured that God is with us in our world, holding all things in tender embrace and bending them to his purpose. The confidence that the Lord is faithful gives meaning to our days and hope to our years. The future is secure, for our world belongs to God. Amen. Let's join together in singing Sea of Victory. Let's rise in body or in spirit as we sing. People of God, Jesus sends us forth to live for him. God has shown you what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And know that as we go with God's blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.